50% righteousness.
Yo, Angela Yee, I love you.
50% ratchetness.
Tell them ratchets to sit down.
More like 95% ratchet.
This is becoming the most prominent forum for hip-hop.
Wake your ass up.
Yeah, it's early in the morning, but they tell me it was y'all. I say, oh, hell yeah, I'm getting up.
The world's most dangerous morning show. DJ Envy.
Your people's choice.
Angela Yee.
I'm a sweetheart, but I'll cut you.
Charlamagne the God.
Prince of pissing people off.
I can't believe you guys are the best, kid.
Collectively known as
Breakfast Club, bitches.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, Angela Yee.
Listen.
What's up?
I had a rough night last night.
Really?
I spilled something on my laptop.
Oh, you said rough night. I thought maybe you had some sex and it got rough. I was going to say, okay,
but you know,
Yee.
Listen, that's one of the worst feelings in the world.
My rough sex?
To spill something on your laptop. And now I can't get online. It keeps saying that there's no hardware installed where it says wireless. Everything else works.
What you spill on your laptop?
Well, so this is what happened.
That's not even your laptop, right? That's the station's laptop?
No, I was at home.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
My
your own laptop.
Personal...
I thought maybe you brought the station laptop home.
Why would I ever bring this laptop, this old, ancient, heavy laptop
home? I don't know.
Home?
I don't know. You was looking at it like that laptop was messed up. But go ahead. What happened?
So basically, I never use coasters. So I was like, okay, today I'm going to use a coaster.
You'll
learn
now.
I'm going to start using one. No, I should never do this because that's why my drink spilled. Because I put it on a coaster, but it wasn't balanced right. Because I'm used to just putting it on the table, and it was right next to my laptop. And then it didn't completely spill on it. It was just a little bit because I caught it.
What did you spill on it?
It was simply lemonade.
Did it have any liquor in it?
No.
So it's mad sticky.
Yeah, it's very sticky.
It's definitely
But everything else works. It just won't go online. So I'm just trying to figure out what to do.
No, take it to Apple. Apple usually fix those things pretty fast. They usually get around all their problems. So even with the hard drive,
they'll be like, it's just going to cost $800 to fix. You know how Apple is.
Nah, it's not going to be that much. But they'll definitely get it fixed. But that sucks for you.
Yeah, I wasn't able to do anything that I needed to do online. And I had a lot of work to do yesterday.
All right. Now, yesterday, I finally got the outfit that the baby's going to come home in the hospital. Of course, my wife is pregnant. The baby will be... Do they say August 21st, but the way it's looking, it could be any day now. The baby's ready to drop. The baby has dropped about a week ago.
About a week ago.
About a week ago, and the baby's ready to come. So we finally got the outfit the baby wears on the way home.
So that's a big deal. I never knew that.
Yes, that is a big deal. The coming home outfit, that's the first picture. That's the first outfit outside. Well, it's not the first outfit for my wife, but because once the baby's born, my wife doesn't use any of the hospital clothes. Like, that's my wife's thing. She has her own outfits.
I just thought you put on a plain white onesie like a...
That's what most people do, but not my
like
wife.
Like a white tee for
no,
a guy.
This baby's going to have on a hat with a bow. It might have on some jewelry, maybe some earrings. Like that's,
jewelry that young?
I'm just joking.
Oh, I don't have any kids.
Now, my wife goes over and beyond. She makes sure that baby is wearing something fly as soon as it comes out. So we had to get all those outfits, and we are ready to rock and roll. We're just ready for Missy to come on and say, hey, I'm ready to meet you guys, so... We're patiently waiting. So the baby should be here hopefully soon.
Well, that should be nice. How many more y'all gonna have after this? This is number five.
That is it.
You say that every time.
I know. You know, I only wanted two kids. There was only two.
Whoa, whoa. Don't ever put that out there.
Well, not like that.
You don't want the other 18 to get upset.
That was the plan. The plan was two. And then they
shout
just,
out to Madison and Logan. You guys were planned.
They were the plan. Like when we were young. We were like, we want two kids. And then every day.
Every day.
Just like, hey, let's do another one. Hey, let's do another one. Hey, let's do another one. But I think we're cool now. Because we can't fit in cars now. Now there's no other vehicle we can buy. We have to get a dollar van or a big SUV. There's no other cars we can
use.
You
guys need a Sprinter.
Yeah.
For the whole family.
Yeah, so five is enough, though. So I'm just blessed. I'm just happy.
I think the term is eight is enough. I predict eight.
No. Five is good. I'm happy with five. But let's get the show cracking. Front page news, what are we talking about?
All right, now, this is something that would be disputed by my uncle, who's a dentist. According to the U.S. Health Department, they're saying there is no need to floss. I completely disagree with that, but I'm going to tell you what this study says.
No, your uncle says floss, 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 floss three times a day if you can. And you know who is nasty and I would love, well, maybe not, but I would love to see his room as a child. Charlamagne.
Oh, my gosh.
We have an office in the back, right? This guy throws everything in that office in the back. T-shirts, hats, liquor. Empty cans of liquor. Empty. When I say I cleaned up back there yesterday,
I told you, man,
I thought
nickname,
something was going to grab me.
His nickname is Pigpen. If you see what the studio looks like, Charlamagne's section is like empty cups, tissues, all kinds of things.
Everything.
All the time I have to ask the interns, can y'all come in here and just straighten this up? He has some cookies. When was his birthday?
At least 3 weeks ago.
He has a whole box of cookies in the corner from his birthday.
And they're not wrapped. They're open
cookies.
They're not
wrapped. It's just cookies. It says, happy birthday, Charlamagne. His birthday was a month ago.
This guy is crazy. All right. And Mark.
Remember we had a roach one day?
Remember that roach? Were you trying to say it came from Charlamagne?
Listen. If I had to choose.
if you had to guess. All right. And Mr. Doctor, I should say, Mark Lamont Hill. Of course, he's an activist, author, TV host on CNN and VH1.
He'll and you see him on Huffington Post Live. We actually did Huffington Post Live with Mark Lamont Hill previously.
Absolutely. He'll be joining us this morning. All right, let's get the show cracking. Front Page is next. Here's Rihanna Work. You can whine a little bit if you're in bed. Whine. Whine.
Ugh.
Whine.
Stop it.
It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Now, let's get in some front page news. Now, there's no need to floss anymore. What's this about?
Man, listen, this goes against everything that my uncle, who is my dentist, has told me growing up.
Yeah, Uncle Yee.
Now, according to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, they're saying flossing has been removed as a recommended practice after questions about its helpfulness arose. What they're saying is that flossing is generally not effective in plaque removal like people thought it was. And they did show a slight reduction in gum inflammation, which can sometimes develop into full-fledged gum disease, which is one of the main reasons my uncle always says I need to floss, because you don't ever want to get gum disease. But they're saying it's like a building a house and not painting two sides of it. Ultimately, those two sides are going to rot away quicker. So they said there's also bleeding and inflammation, all of those things that could potentially happen. Now, I'm going to tell you, I enjoy flossing because sometimes, you know, when you have food stuck in between your teeth,
mm-hmm.
that can actually, if you don't floss, rot your teeth away. So I would think
your
you
food
need to
traps.
Floss.
Your uncle actually said you should floss as many times as you can. It says it helps with, if you have problems, what you said, with gums, if you have problems with breath, if you have food traps, it makes sure your teeth are clean and it prevents from having cavities.
Listen, I am not going to not floss. I'm sorry, because I can't stand when I see somebody and I can look at them and tell they don't floss. Mm-hmm.
So what's the alternative? I missed it. I just walked in.
They're saying, according to the U.S. Health Department, that flossing is not necessary.
I know that, but what's the alternative?
Not flossing.
Just brush your teeth.
They're saying you just don't have to. They're not going to recommend that you do it anymore. I think they should still continue. You should still continue to floss. There's no downside to it. And I see the results as far as you can see if there's food in between your teeth.
You know, the bad
and you
thing,
see it on the floss, you're like, okay, great, I got it out.
I don't know how to floss using the string. I got to use
The little instrument thing.
I only know how to use the string.
I can't really.
I can't use the string. Now, as a kid, for a long time, my mom had to floss my teeth. I didn't know how to do it.
What?
Yeah, it's weird, but yeah.
All right.
Now let's talk about the millennials having less sex than their parents. That doesn't sound right.
Now, yes, some people thought that kids nowadays are having a lot more sex.
That's bullcrap.
Than people that are older. So they're saying right now, people in their 20s are more than twice as likely to be sexually inactive.
Really?
Now, I kind of believe
social media.
I'm going to tell you why. There's a couple of reasons why this makes sense. Kids ages 20 to 24 had 15% had no sexual partner since turning 18 at all. A lot of that is because with this generation, a lot of them are staying with their parents longer and marrying later. So that delays sexual activity. Imagine living with your parents trying to get it on. Where are you going to do that at? Also, the internet. A lot of times kids are looking at pornography, and that is their sexual intimacy. So they're not running out and having sex. They can just sit at home, play with themselves, and watch porn.
I figured they would want to do that more. I figured that would make them want to have sex.
Nah, a lot of these kids suffer from what they call porn-induced erectile dysfunction. So it's like they're always bombarded with images of sex because of social media.
Mm-hmm.
So their penises don't even get hard. In a lot of cases, women don't even get moist.
Or because they can satisfy their sexual urges by looking at porn, they don't feel the need to go have sex.
You heard what Slim Jimmy said yesterday. He played Pokemon Go more than he texts these hoes. Okay? Okay?
All right. Well, that's front page.
I heard y'all lying on me on the way in, by the way.
What part was a lie?
I don't keep nothing in the office. You know why I don't keep nothing in the office? Because I've been fired 4 times from radio. So whenever they come in here and
they
be
like, ain't
none of that mine.
I don't even go in the office.
I go in there once a week for a haircut. The only person that go in there all the time is DJ Envy. He be in there sleeping.
We're going to throw all that stuff out. Who put that? There's a bunch of boxes in there that say Charlamagne with a bunch of T-shirts on
there. There's no way.
Yes.
If there is, I didn't put them in there.
We
it might be the interns doing. I would think that they would fold it up and put it back.
Listen,
I started off as a radio intern in 1998. This is the 7th radio station I've worked at. I've been fired from 4 radio stations. I keep nothing in the office because when they come to me and they tell me they want to move in another direction, I'll be out.
You have to be ready to leave without looking back.
Yes, nothing looks sadder when you see these radio personalities getting fired and they packing up. And they walking out with the HR people behind them.
I ain't gonna lie, there's nothing in this place that I could just walk and leave. There's nothing I need.
Nothing. All right, peace.
Just send me the effing vodka bottles and that's it. But
send me my severance.
Yep.
My severance check and I'm out.
That's it. I ain't even got any pictures. Nothing.
Nope. Don't let yourself get attached to anything you're not willing to walk out on in 30 seconds flat.
There you go,
the heat around the corner.
The 7th radio station I work there, baby.
Watch too much movies. All right. Tell them why you're mad. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, call us right now. Maybe somebody pissed you off. Maybe you had a bad morning.
Maybe
whatever
your laptop
it may be.
Won't connect to the wireless service.
800-585-1051. Tell them why you're mad. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Hey yo, good morning. This is the Mad Rap. I'm mad because I hung out in the club last night and there was so many good girls in there. Yo, for real, we don't need none of y'all good girls in the club. We need loose girls, we need drug girls, we need sloppy girls. We need girls that's just gonna go all the way. We don't need none of y'all nice girls in there. Go home. Go away. Talk about it. And tell me why you mad. Breakfast Club, for real.
I'm mad at Charlamagne because he comes in talking about getting fired and he late. I didn't hear yo. I hear every morning. So, Charlamagne, you fired. I'm mad at you.
You fired? You ain't got to fire the brother.
And like a month ago, I called in and you said that my name sounded like a Pokemon.
What's your
name?
And
I put it on Facebook. Renoki. And I put it on Facebook that you said my name sounded like a Pokemon and everybody else agreed that yours does too.
Mine definitely sounds like a Pokemon. Your name actually sounds like somebody Thor would fight.
Hello,
Loki, Renoki.
Yo, I'm mad because you said that, young dudes in their 20s have less sex because they live with their parents. I don't live with my parents anymore, but that's what you have cars for. That's what you have the roof for. That's what you have telly for. So I don't understand the roof.
If you live with your mom, 9 times out of 10, you can't afford a hotel, bro. Hotels are expensive, sir.
Well, you better have a car or a roof or a park or something.
And don't you think that hotels are very direct? Like, a lot of times, you know, especially when we was younger, we was getting a lot of vagina on the low. It wasn't planned.
Yeah, I didn't stay in no hotels, man.
Some people don't want to have to wine and dine a girl and then take her to the rooftop.
Yeah, meet me at the hotel.
To the rooftop.
Like that's
what
demanding.
Game is for, man. That's what game. You got to have a little bit of game. Make her pay for it. You got to do something.
We don't believe you, bro.
You can just watch porn. It's a lot easier.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, this is Ty Lee Jr. How y'all doing?
Ty Lee, what's up? Tell him why you mad, bro.
Man, I lost one of my best friends, man, because I caught him eating boogers, man. He's 32 years old.
Eating boogers, yeah.
Good protein. Boogers. It's good protein.
Damn it, man.
How'd you catch him?
No good protein. Because I was looking through my peephole when he knocked on my door, and he was trying to hurry up and eat one real quick, man, and I caught him.
He might have been doing that since a kid, man.
Don't knock until you try it. Might be better than M&M's.
I should have known he was eating boogers because he burnt one day, and it smelled like snot.
Okay, all right. Goodbye. Have a nice morning, sir. I ain't even had my oatmeal yet, and you calling up here talking stupid.
Like. I don't know. Tell him why you're mad. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, call us right now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
That was Bryson Tiller with Dope Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Tonight, I'm actually taking my daughter to her first club.
You going to the club with your daughter?
Absolutely, positively.
She's 21.
No. Performing Rage Murmur?
No, it might be. I don't know. It's a teen club. So
21 Savage?
13 to 17.
Okay.
So she's going to her first club.
Why do you have to go?
I got to make sure she's good.
Does everybody bring their parents to the club?
I don't know. I don't know what everybody's doing, but
you don't think she's old enough to go by herself without you?
That's too wide a demographic.
I'm going
too,
with
by
her friend. Yeah, that's 13 to 17 is kind of.
That's too wide a demographic.
What do you think is going to happen?
Because you got to think, if you're an 18-year-old and you have sex with a 13-year-old, or even touch a 13-year-old, you'll be laid with a pedophile.
But it's 13 to 17.
13 to 17.
Yeah, but 17 is way close to 18. Like really, really, really close to 18.
Well, I got her a section, so she got a little VIP section.
She got bottles?
She got bottles of soda.
Wow.
They're going to be popping bottles of soda.
17
dark
to 13 is too close.
That's my whole
thing. It's basically high school.
Like some of them boys, like you see some of them boys I see play basketball and they're like 15, 16 and
it's basically
taller than
a
me.
High school party though.
No, it's yeah, not, a, it's not a high school party.
I don't want
when I was in ninth grade, I was 13.
I don't want no senior kicking. She's still freshman, so you might be right.
I don't want no senior kicking it with no freshman.
See?
Because you're 18 years old, 13 or 14, you're going to go to jail.
And that's why I'm going.
Period.
That's why I'm going.
That's too wide a ratio.
Well, it makes you feel
ratio.
Better. Millennials are having a lot less sex now.
Thanks, G.
They should have freshman parties for the freshmen, sophomore parties for the sophomores, junior parties for the juniors, senior party for the seniors. They don't need to mix it all up like that.
Well, they can't do that. Promoters are doing it, and they're doing a teen party. So
that's ridiculous.
Yeah,
that's
it's a teenager. They're all teenagers.
They're all teenagers. So
well, remember that next time an 18-year-old sleeps with a 13-year-old.
It's
they're
a party.
All teenagers.
They're not going to have sex. They're going to a party.
It starts somewhere. You touch, you fondle,
you could do
your
that
finger.
At school in that case.
Yes.
But I mean, what's the difference?
It was nothing but wine. And we used to go to basement parties and wine all night. That's not going to happen. Could dab. My daughter could dab all day long.
The difference is the setting. It's the difference between school and a dance where the music is playing and you're out and you're feeling free and it's summertime.
I don't know. You trust your
yet.
Daughter. She's a very
I absolutely
great young
trust
lady.
Her, but I don't trust these boys.
You don't trust
out
them little
there.
Boys.
There you go.
I don't trust them little boys.
I don't trust them boys. So I will be there tonight. So me and baby girl will be in her section popping bottles. So if you see me in the club or your kids see me in the club, they're going to say, that's Papa Envy. Yep, yeah, that's Papa Envy.
Yeah, the light-skinned guy with all the tattoos, he's not a pedophile. He's actually a
chaperone.
Chaperone.
There you
yes.
go. All right, well, we got rumors coming up, Yee?
Yes, we'll tell you about Jason Mitchell, who played Eazy-E in Straight Outta Compton, why he is now under investigation. We'll tell you what happened. Whew. Also, Tyga. What happened with the kid who thought he booked Tyga for a party? We'll tell you how much he paid and what really happened in real life.
All right. And also next hour, Dr. Mark Lamont Hill will be joining us.
Of I had no idea he was a doctor.
He never calls himself that.
Yeah, well, we'll chop it up with him. He's from the Huffington Post. He does CNN. He does VH1. A host of other things. So keep it locked. Rumors on the way. And it's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Listen up.
It's just in.
All the
gossip.
The Rumor Report.
Gossip.
With Angela Yee.
It's The Rumor Report.
The Breakfast Club.
Well, Tyga was supposed to headline a party, and the promoter says he ended up losing all kinds of money, about $13,500. But it turns out, and this keeps on happening, it was a fake promoter that was trying to act like he was representing Tyga, and now they can't find him, so they're trying to track him down. He already has been known for ripping people off.
That's crazy.
He got $15,000 from somebody else.
So basically, don't book Tyga if it's spelled T-I-G-E-R. If it's spelled right. T-I-G-E-R,
pretty much.
Don't book Tyga.
How do you prevent things like this?
That happens
happening?
A lot. You remember
yeah,
that happened in
so
Alabama.
Much.
They got, I think it was Alabama State. They got them for like $50,000, $75,000, something like that.
It happens all the
happens,
time.
It happens a lot.
How do you know it's really the... I guess you should look on that person's page and see... If that's who they're
going to a reputable booking agent.
Not
that,
just
that's
some
usually
random
the easier.
Person.
Not a random person. Not my cousin's men's in them.
I know people who, you know, a lot of artists got songs that are bigger than them. Mm-hmm. So back in the day, if it was like the Franchise Boys or somebody like that, mm-hmm. they would do a Franchise Boys show and just have some guys go out there in white T-shirts.
Nobody would know.
Nobody would know.
Mm. Nowadays, though, it's too easy to tell.
Yeah, everything's on social media.
All right, now let's discuss a Snapchat account and an iCloud account that was allegedly hacked. Ashley Martell. Now, if you don't know who that is, that's Irv Gotti's girlfriend. She's 21 years old. And there was a video that was circulating around all yesterday of her performing oral sex on someone, which everybody assumed was Irv Gotti that was posted to her Snap. Now, she went ahead and gave a statement. She said, everyone makes mistakes. I'm working on fixing things and making everything right. It was an old video, and I hope everyone can move on from this. So she's trying to say that somebody hacked into her account.
And put that video up.
And posted that video on her Snapchat. And she also tried to say it was an old video that she made with an ex, so it wasn't even Irv Gotti.
That's real. Everybody got a pass. You can't judge a girl off the penises of her past.
Right, she said, if someone keeps trying to log into your email and all social accounts, can any legal action take place? I'm just tired of this. She had posted that previously. She also said that she's reconsidering her social media accounts because of this. It's just not worth it. And she said it's also causing conflicts with her current relationship with Irv.
And let's be clear, you don't have to digitally document all your sexual escapades either, okay? You know, I'm a little older than the rest of y'all, but I have a lot of memories. I have memories in my brain. I remember what it looks like. I remember what it smells like.
Okay, calm down.
I remember what it
you
felt
remember
like.
Everybody right. you ever had sex with?
If I think about it, yeah. Especially, you know, because, you know, the first time I ever took an AIDS test, you know, you write down everybody you had sex with, and then you just look at the list and get disgusted and be like, you know what, I might deserve it.
Do you even remember the one that bled on my
oh, he remembers.
Air mattress over here?
I don't know what you're talking
about. Because we all remember that. All right, now let's discuss Jason Mitchell. He played Eazy-E in Straight Outta Compton. He's under investigation. According to authorities, they got a call to the Ritz-Carlton in Boston, and it was an 18-year-old woman. She said that Mitchell got rough with her, grabbed her arms, threw her to the ground by her hair, and called her a bitch and left. Now, guests also that were staying at the hotel said that they heard some victims screaming in the hallway for help. And since then, the Ritz-Carlton has banned Jason Mitchell, and they are actually trying to locate him, the police, for questioning.
You got
to
get out that Eazy-E character, bro. Shake it off.
He's still stuck
in
character.
Get a new role to mimic somebody else.
All right, and the rumor is that Ray J and Princess Love will be getting married next week.
Oh, nice.
And allegedly, Brandy is going to sing At Last by Etta James for their first dance. And Anthony Hamilton will be serenading Princess Love, singing The Point of It All, his song. I love that song.
Okay.
All right, well, that is your rumor report. I'm Angela Yee.
All right, thank you, Miss Yee. Now, when we come back, we have Mark Lamont Hill in the building. Of course,
my
activist,
guy.
Author, TV host, was at the Huffington Post when we actually did our interview up there.
And he does the VH1 live show now, mm-hmm. which he just started doing recently that a lot of people have been watching.
He's on CNN as well, so we'll kick it with him when we come back. Don't go anywhere. It's The Breakfast Club. Here's Kent Jones. Don't mind. That was Rihanna with Needed Me. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
One of my favorite voices in the game.
Dr. Mark Lamont Hill.
What's up,
you a doctor?
Yeah.
That's what they tell me, yeah.
Everybody Mark sounds surprised.
I don't use it. That's why.
Yeah, but I never heard you.
Yeah, I got a PhD.
Doctor. Okay, okay.
Yeah, I don't even like to use
it. You got it. You better use it. You work for it.
I don't even like to use it like
I like
that.
To other
you went to
that.
School for it.
You're at Temple, right?
I got my PhD from Penn, but I went to Temple, yeah.
I always wonder how'd you escape the mean streets of Philly, man. Because, you know, it's so easy to get into the street life in Philly. Like, who implemented education in your life?
You know, it's crazy. I guess my parents did. I was a reader. I went to, and I got on the school bus. I lived in North Philly. I grew up in North Philly, but I took the school bus up to the Northeast, which was like, it wasn't a good neighborhood, but it was just a lot of white people there.
Gotcha.
So like, they had teachers and books and stuff like that. And so I did that.
Sorry,
because
in my neighborhood, like they didn't have none of that. You know what I mean? So we went up there and did that. But, you know, a lot of it was just luck, man. I did stuff, I just didn't get caught. My brother just came home. You know what I mean? So, like, yeah.
You know, it's just, sometimes it's just luck and circumstance.
So you was in the street a little bit?
A little bit, man. But, you know, I went to Morehouse first, and I dropped out and got in more trouble. Took some time off, and was really messing up. And at one point, I was homeless, man. And then
okay, I started to get it. Everybody, every rapper, everybody always says they're
homeless.
They
be lying, though.
No. You really homeless to stay with a friend?
I lived in the Lenox Mall train station on the floor.
Yikes.
Wow.
That's what I'm saying. Like, not
damn.
Like.
How come you couldn't go back home?
I probably could have, but I think part of it was I wanted to have a certain kind of experience, right? I wanted to be able
you
to
wanted
set,
to experience homeless?
Not like on some abstract intellectual stuff. I mean, like, I think in my mind, I felt like I had a different destiny, a different life. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yo, I can't go back home. I can't do this. And I was just convincing myself that wasn't what I was supposed to do.
Too much pride, you think?
A lot of it was pride. Then it got cold. And people think Atlanta don't get cold. It's not cold if you're inside in Atlanta.
Yeah,
but like
yeah.
If November, December come, I don't care where you at. It's cold if you're right. Sleeping outside. And after a while, man, I just decided to come on. That's what I did. I came home, came back to Philly, slept into my mom's basement for a minute, worked full time, and then got back to school, and then just been running ever since.
How long was this homelessness?
About 4 months, 4 or 5 months.
4 months. And then what did you do in the meantime? Did you work during the process?
I was, so I didn't want to sell like dope or weed and nothing like that. I did that in high school a little bit, but like I wanted to. I was selling incense, man. I was selling incense, bootleg tapes back in the day, like the VHS tapes, bootleg CDs, all that stuff, Lenox Mall train station, incense, oils.
But then you went back to Morehouse after everything and started teaching.
About 2 years ago, Morehouse called me and said, you want to come back? And I was like, yo, it's been 18 years since I dropped out. It'd be kind of ill to go back
right. And
be the person who I probably needed when I was there. Somebody who could have told me to stay, who could have convinced me to stay, who could have convinced me to be a different kind of person.
And you saw African American studies.
Yeah, I teach African.
You know, everybody at HBCU takes that course because they think it's easy. It's not easy
not
at
easy.
All.
Oh, it's the hardest, man.
It's
I make
one
it
of
extra
the hardest
difficult.
Courses ever.
Yeah, I make it extra difficult too because people think my class is going to be the easy class because I'm on TV. So they think I'm going to come in there and be like entertaining them and stuff. Like, no, we read. So I add like 10 books to the syllabus.
Yep.
The first. Some of them I take off after a couple weeks, but I want them to look at it and decide if they really want to be there. And if they don't, they roll out. Because I might have 50 people the first day. Second day, I might have like 15, 20.
I got a C in that class.
See?
It was so much. I didn't know. I thought it was going to be an easy class. HBCU, African American Studies. Oh, this is easy. I'm
a lot of stuff you didn't learn in high school.
I'm black. Right. Nope.
So you got to fill in some of these holes, though, because I like to hear these stories because it gives kids motivation.
Yeah.
So you're homeless. You went back home, slept in the basement.
Yeah.
Then how'd you get into school?
I worked telemarketing for a long time.
I did telemarketing.
I told
accident, so did Envy.
I sold accidental death and dismemberment insurance.
How did that go?
I was pretty good at it because I ain't had no scruples, so I would sign people up that didn't really want it. You know what I mean? It was telemarketing.
Even though they said no, you would
yeah, be like, all right, they probably sound like they probably wanted it anyway. So I write their name down, whatever. And in Philly, a lot of people that Questlove did that. We worked the same spot. Like, everybody went through that at the same insurance.
You remember
your spiel? Oh, not anymore, man. Let me see. Mark Hill from JCPenney Life. I'm calling you for a special offer. Oh my God, for $7.99, I can't remember now. It's been so long, man. It's been like 15 years, man. But nah, it was, I went hard on that. And it was actually the last class that I took at Temple called The Black Woman that really changed the game for me. And I took it because, one, I needed one more class. And two, I thought there'd be black women in there, right? Yeah. And it was like me and just room full of black women. But I didn't just have that. I learned about black feminism. And I learned about how to read and write as a job. Got my way into grad school and been running ever since.
Wow. What do you think for people who say that college isn't really necessary?
It is and it's not. I just feel like we do a lot of stuff that's not necessary. You know what I mean? If you're going to waste your time for 4 years, waste it in college. If you don't know exactly what you want to do, learn something. I think there are other ways to develop skills. Mm-hmm. And I know geniuses who never went. One of the greatest intellectuals of our generation, of the 20th century, John Henry Clark, you know, got his degrees later, but his genius came from self-study. Arturo Schoenberg, same thing.
Malcolm X.
I mean, we can go down the list. A bunch of people that didn't do it that way. And in the new economy, there's lots of ways to learn and study without school. You can get direct training and other things. But I do think there's something about being on a college campus, learning from other people. True. Much of what I learned in college wasn't what I learned in the classroom. It was what I learned on campus. It's what I learned in the AUC when I was at Morehouse. It's what I learned through the streets of Atlanta.
They gotta change the curriculum,
student.
Though. Yes. Some of those classes you never use in your life.
That's
never.
True.
I think everything you learn in life, you learn in kindergarten.
That's interesting.
Your ABCs, your numbers, the golden rule, doing to others as you would have them doing to you. I think everything you need to know in life, you learn right there in kindergarten.
You need your multiplication.
I was about to say, until you got to like pay your bills, do your taxes.
Yeah, a little bit.
But I feel what you say, the basic principles of life.
The basic principles of life,
I agree.
Now, Mark, I've been watching VH1 Live, and all respect to you, I feel like the show is beneath you.
You know, I knew you was going to say that. Mm-hmm. Here's what I say. I disagree. First, the show is developing. And you know how it is with TV. First thing you got to do is prove that you can hold a time slot. First thing you got to do is prove that you can host a live show. And then you grow with it. I'm expanding the conversation each week.
Gotcha.
But it's a fight. I ain't going to lie to you. It's a fight every week to grow the show into what I want it to be. That's the idea.
I'm like, why would you use Mark Lamont Hill to do pop culture?
Right. Now, I do love doing pop culture.
Yeah, I mean, you had Huffington Post Live. You did a lot of pop culture on there.
Right.
And mixed it in. And I think pop culture does have a lot to do right now with politics also and everything that's going on in the world.
Yeah. No, and I think that's the key. And for me, I'm trying to find a bridge between audiences. Part of my job as an educator, as an intellectual, is to reach into different audiences.
Gotcha.
And so I did a BET special that same day. Every week that I've done VH1 Live, I've done a BET News special. And some of the people who say, like, we need you to be doing serious stuff, they're not watching the BET
news
special.
So
I was running to a burning building in Ferguson, literally. You know what I mean? And we nobody watched it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then when I do VH1 Live, I got a million people watching. And what I want to do is take those million people and get them to care about the stuff that I'm doing over at BET.
Gotcha.
And the stuff that I still do at CNN. I'm still on CNN. I'm still on BET. But this is a space for me to do something different. And also, I like it. I actually watch Basketball Wives and Love and Hip Hop. Right. I like talking about it. It's not like I had to like put on to do this. Like I actually do
you
it.
You watch
anyway.
It like at home by yourself, or are you?
I mean, maybe
with
company, but yeah.
Because usually most guys watch those shows because a girl is over watching it. I don't know a lot of guys
this
on their own watching.
Dudes
basketball.
Pretend to do stuff because girls is white. It's like when a dude asks for your picture, yo, this is my girl.
Yeah,
they just want a picture.
Stop it.
Want a picture. Same stuff. It's like, you know, a lot of times we act like we do it for somebody else. We just watch it. I like Basketball. I think it's interesting. It gives dudes the opportunity to have a soap opera.
That's true.
Without acknowledging that it's a soap opera.
Because I watched The Bachelor, and every time I look up, I'm like, damn, I really like The Bachelor.
Oh, you watched The Bachelor?
What's about?
I don't know about
that. That's the line, dog. At least I got hip hop in mind, man. The Bachelor, I don't know.
I like girlfriends and I like girls. And when you tweet about those shows, dudes be like, yo, you watching girls or girlfriends? I'm like, it's a show full of women.
Women, right?
Like, what are you talking
about? Exactly.
All right, we have more with Dr. Mark Lamont here when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
That was Hove, Paris, Kanye West. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have activist, author, and TV host on CNN and VH1, Mark Lamont Hill, in the building.
Now, you got your new book, Nobody.
Oh, yeah.
Talks about the nobodies in the eyes of our American government.
Yeah.
Do you think that a lot of us nobodies are going to be suffering from PTSD in the future based off everything we're seeing now, especially the unarmed killing of black men?
Well, who are the nobodies in the book, if you don't, because I don't know who the nobodies are.
People who are rendered disposable. It started when I went down to Ferguson. I was there with BET News, and I came the day after Mike Brown got killed, and I was talking to this girl, Keisha, and she was talking about how he laid. I mean, Mike Brown was there for 4 hours.
Mm. His blood running down the sidewalk.
Yeah.
And then they came and covered his body up with the sheet.
Barely, right? And the sheet's barely covering his body, bugs flying around. It was a 21st century lynching, right? This is exactly what lynchings were in the 20th century, in the 19th century. You had kids standing around watching it. We got babies crying. You got people watching. And now, because of global media, Twitter, Instagram, the whole world is watching this lynching, right? And she said they left him there like he ain't belong to nobody.
Right.
And when I thought about that, I said he didn't belong to nobody. People loved him. His family loved him. But in terms of the state, Normandy School District, where he went to school, broken. Worst school district, one of the worst in the country. Emerson Electric had left St. Louis. No jobs. Pruitt-Igoe housing projects failed. So he didn't have access to anything. And I'm saying that the death of Michael Brown wasn't just about Darren Wilson killing him. It was about a set of systems that rendered him disposable long before that. But it ain't just him. It's not just Eric Garner. It's not just Sandra Bland. It's not just Walter Scott. And I cover all of them in the book. It's also, if you took all them people and they lived in a town together, that town would look like Flint, Michigan.
Right.
And so at the end of the book, I talk about Flint, Michigan and how that whole town was rendered disposable because they're poor, they're black, they're brown, they're politically disempowered. Ain't no white neighborhood gonna have lead in the water for a year.
At all.
It just wouldn't happen. And if they did, somebody would be in jail for it right now. But we're disposable. To your point about PTSD, I think we all have it.
Yeah.
I think you can't grow up where I grew up. So many of my friends are dead, man. I've seen two of my friends got killed in front of me. And it wasn't until I was older that I realized I wasn't okay with that. You know what I mean? There was still something there. You know what I'm saying? We joke about, you know, black people get on the floor when guns go off, but we do that because something wrong. When white people firecrackers go off, they don't hit the deck like we do. And we joke about it, but like, because we find almost prime nostalgia and romance in trauma.
Are we here to firecracker? And instead of thinking it's a firecracker, the first thing we think, like, who's shooting?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like,
one person starts running, we all start running.
And we joke about it because we kind of become nostalgic about our pain. But there's a certain dysfunction to that. I would love to raise a kid who hears a firecracker and here's a firecracker.
Yes.
And that's it. If you go to Iraq or Afghanistan, you come back with PTSD, but we ignore the everyday trauma that comes from growing up in the hood. Being poor, being dislocated, not having access to fresh fruit and vegetables. This is all what it means to be nobody.
Everybody treats us like, you know, nobodies. And then when something happens, their justification for that is black-on-black crime. It's almost like y'all kill each other, so why do you care when the police kill you? Why do they do that?
It's such a disingenuous argument. First of all, black-on-black crime is framed as a pathology, when in fact it's simply a function of proximity. In other words, if you live near people and you get killed, it's usually somebody who lives near you that kills you. People don't usually just run from another part of town to kill you.
White crime, Asian on Asian crime. You all live in the same community. Yeah. And so you kill the people that live in the community by you.
But isn't it magnified because we only make up 30% of the population? I mean, it's the same argument with the police. The reason police killings are so, you know, big in our community is because of the population.
Absolutely. And we have to address the fact that there is a proportionality question. We do kill each other at a higher rate than white people kill other white people. And I would argue that's an outgrowth and an artifact of white supremacy. Right. Again, part of white supremacy is to teach you that black bodies are disposable. So it's much easier for you to kill me than it is for you to go kill the white boy across the street. I grew up in, like, again, we all grew up in the hood. Like, you throw trash in your own block, but when you go to a nice white neighbor, you don't throw your soda can on the floor.
You respect it.
Oh,
it's white people.
Right. And instinctively, you don't even think about dropping it on
I do that in other areas now. Like, we go somewhere, I'll be clean as hell. We in New York, I'll be like, I'll throw the wrap out the window.
You throw trash?
I
don't like when people litter envy.
I don't like it either.
Period. I don't care where you are.
But I just thought that's what you were supposed to do. But then the other part of the black-on-black crime thing is that it almost suggests that because you kill each other, we have a right to kill you, right? Which, again, is a kind of perverted, twisted logic. And then on top of that, they ignore the fact that when black people protest state violence, we're protesting the fact that the police kill. If you kill me, you're going to go to jail for it. Ain't no shortage of black people in jail for killing black people. But when white people kill us and when police kill us, we don't go to jail for it. I have full confidence that if Envy were to shoot me right now, right, that it will be a trial and even if he didn't shoot me, he might go to jail for
it. Nah, his dad's a cop.
But when they kill us, we don't have access to a fair trial. Mm-hmm. They kill us with impunity. They kill us on tape and they still don't go to jail for it. That's the issue. And so for me, it's the black-on-black crime issue is like, it's apples and oranges. Right. And that's why we engage them differently.
Well, with your rhetoric that you speak and you talk about, it, and especially being proud, being pro-black and African-American, does that make you nervous with any of your jobs, working at VH1 and
nervous
doing your CNN? And
No.
Huffington Post.
It used to. It used to until I got fired. I got fired from Fox News.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, what about at Fox? Because yeah. I'm sure
you... Oh, Fox is crazy. So Fox fired me. So once Fox fired me, I was like, I approach every job like every day I go in the air, I could be fired.
Right.
And so...
So you might as well say what you
Why
want.
Why did they even exactly. hire you at Fox? That's crazy to me.
Because Fox is like... Fox is to news what pro wrestling is to sports. Mm-hmm. Right? It's like news, but it's not exactly news. It's about the show.
Right.
The day Obama won, it looked like a funeral in there. I was working there in 08, and I walked in there about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, because you usually know who gonna win the election, honestly, before the night.
He was in there like, woo-hoo!
I was like, what's wrong? Everybody, they said, like, go up to the 5th floor, Mark. And I'm never allowed on the 5th floor. That's like where only like the white people go. And I usually stay on the 4th. And I went up there, and Ailes was in there, all the producers was in there, and it was like this funeral. And it's the day Obama is about to be elected. I'm thinking somebody got killed, because, you know, we was all thinking, like, he might get shot.
Absolutely.
Right. So I'm like, yo, what happened? They're like, we got bad news. I'm like, what happened? They were like, he's going to win. And I was like, what? And they were like, he
was like, yeah.
I was right. Me and the janitors in the corner like this. And I'm like, yeah. And the rest of them is like really sad. And they're like, yo, but don't worry. They're saying this to each other. They're giving each other pep. Don't worry. The next 4 years, we are going to make his life hell. And we're going to make a lot of money. That's literally what they said.
Yeah.
And
wow.
for the next 4 years, that's what they did.
Wow.
You know, and so, and I saw Sean Hannity at the convention. He was like, yo, I can't believe this guy won the nomination. He said, I did everything I could to stop it. You know, he's like frustrated. Like, yo, really? Like, I can't believe, like, that's their goal. And so working there was a trip. But then once they fired me, mm-hmm. I feel liberated. And I'm like, you know, I feel free to say what I want. I go on TV and I say what I believe, and I'm fully comfortable that one day it's going to end. But as a truth teller, that's the job. You know what I mean? And so I don't mind battling about racism with a Harry Houck or talking about the N-word with Trinidad Jenga. I don't mind doing that because I know it's going to end anyway. And if it's going to end, I want it to end on my... These jobs all end. We all going to lose.
I've been fired 4 times. Trust me. I came to that conclusion a long
time
ago.
It's going to end. No matter how good you do, 99% of the time it's going to end anyway. So you might as well go hard and end it on your turn.
All right, now keep it locked. We have more with Dr. Mark Lamont Hill. Don't go anywhere. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. That was Drake with Controller. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Now we have Dr. Mark Lamont Hill in the building, an activist, author, TV host. Of course, he did the Huffington Post, CNN, VH1. Now, Yee?
You saw this Miss Teen USA controversy where some old tweets where she was using the N-word.
I heard about it. Yeah.
But they are backing her and saying, okay, it should be fine to let her go ahead and keep that crown. Do you think something like that should matter?
I use the N-word, so mm-hmm. I use it promiscuously, so I have no problem with black people using it. I think white people should not use it, but if you use it at 10 or 11 years old, particularly how this culture works, I think it's something we need to work
But it
through.
Wasn't with the A at the end, it was at the ER at the end.
See, I need context, right? Was it like...
Isn't it hard to make those teachable moments, though? Because if you're talking to one of these little kids, 9 times out of 10, they're mimicking their favorite rapper.
And
they do not understand the historical context of the word at all. So when you come to them, you be like... That's wrong. You shouldn't say it because of this, this, and that. And then they look at you and be like, well, it's all through the music.
Well, these posts were from 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And she was writing.
Like, so she was like 14. 13,
yeah, she 14. Was writing to her friends. She said, I know I'm a comedian, N-word. Don't threaten me. I will wrap your house, N-word. And I don't have your number, N-word.
So see, that's regular context.
Yeah, I think she's using it, trying to talk like a black person. It's not okay. But I do think that that's a different thing than like, get off my lawn.
Yeah, you know
what I mean?
Right. What Charlamagne just said, you actually teach classes. Which is pertaining to Jay-Z and Nas' lyrics, right?
Yeah, I actually teach a Jay-Z Nas class. And that's one of the things we wrestle with is how language gets used and how we think about it and who has access to this language. I don't want us to infantilize white people, though, because we always say white people get confused. They hear us use it, they don't know what to do. Or they hear rappers do it, they don't know what to do. White people have managed to run the entire world for the last 400 years. They can comprehend the idea that black people can say it.
Kids are different. The kids are different, Mark.
Because kids...
The kids are different. The kids are different, man.
I think they pick up on it and want to do it, but I think as soon as you tell them you can't, I don't want to let them off the hook where they say, well, I'm confused because Raheem does it, why can't I do it? I'm saying once we tell them, I agree mm-hmm. with you at the onset, but once we tell them, they can't keep using the I'm confused excuse, which is what I keep hearing, right? Like, well, I keep listening to rap music and black people keep saying this, so I just feel like I can still say it.
And I do it myself sometimes. Mm-hmm. Walk up to white people and like, what's up, my name? You know right. what I mean?
I do it too.
Yeah, I do it to them. They ain't got to say it back. Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question, right?
Don't say it back.
if there were a gay rapper, he made a song, you know, I don't know, I want to eat. And use the club.
All right,
like,
let's
Mark,
use that clip.
That's going to be the worst gift on Instagram.
Right, I know.
Mark them on here. I want to eat it.
So we'll cut that out.
Isolate that and make a gift.
My point is, if you was in a club and it came on, would you just, and you liked the rest of the song, but when that verse came on, would you say it? When Lil' Kim spits, let me use a better example. When Lil' Kim spits a verse about...
I used to be scared of it.
So when you in a club, you'd be like, I used to be scared of it. Now throw lips on it. That's what you say when
Bishop Betty Long definitely says that.
Nah, I don't say it.
Exactly. You find a way.
I've seen Envy say that.
No, I don't. Shut up,
and I've seen Charlamagne do the Pretty Girl Rock and sing Pretty Girl.
No, but I understand exactly what Mark's saying. I do not sing the Lil' Kim part.
No, that's what I'm saying.
I don't do that.
You mentally shut down.
Absolutely.
Right. When that part, come on, right?
Absolutely.
And I'm not trying to be homophobic because there's nothing wrong with people who want to do that get busy. You know what I mean? But I'm saying, you mentally decide that part ain't for you.
Right.
Absolutely.
You don't get seduced by the beat. You don't get caught into the moment where you start rapping Nicki Minaj.
I never looked at it like that.
You'd be like, nope, that line ain't for me.
Exactly.
So white people, that line ain't for you.
Now, you said every 28 hours, an unarmed black man is killed by police.
Yeah. I was quoting the Malcolm X grassroots report, which says that every 28 hours, a black person is killed by law enforcement or a vigilante. Yes.
Oh, okay. So that still applies to...
Yes. The number is somewhat disputed because of how we account for it, but... Considering the fact that most of them don't get reported and then there's no federal tracking system, I would argue the number's about the same,
And that's what I was going to ask. I was like, if that happens, why come it's not a hashtag every day?
To get killed by police and become a hashtag, you got to, like, have a video. You got to have a video.
HD.
Right. HD, right.
Repeated on some news network.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, it's incredibly difficult. And that's the thing. We only get a cause for us when we have indisputable proof.
Right.
Our witness is not enough. Part of being nobody in America is that just us saying it happened doesn't matter.
Even with video proof, it kind of seems like it doesn't really matter so much.
They were Rodney King ass on tape for 15 minutes. And they told a jury, they convinced a jury that if we hadn't done that, he would have gotten up and ran through the whole town and killed everybody. I mean, that's basically what they say. Mm-hmm. We had to do it. Don't believe your lying eyes. Believe what we tell you. We need to be fighting for citizen review boards, civilian review boards.
Oh, I use that.
Yeah.
Because people don't know sometimes certain things are available, but when you file that complaint online, you do have to show up and go to mediation.
Sometimes the cop has to be held.
And some people, I did all of that, though.
Right.
But
we had
a
problem with the same officer. She showed up and I didn't.
Exactly.
I had time.
I was there.
You didn't want to snitch on the police because you connected to
the
police.
Oh, no, I definitely. I talked about him on air like crazy, but I just I had time.
You got to have time.
You got to have time.
Yeah, you have to if it matters to you, because to me, that's something that's going to be helpful for the next person.
Yep. Most people work. They can't take
for that
off
to
work.
Go, for that people. To go on their record.
Right.
But
right.
I also feel like for police officers, they should have some type of community service that is part of their job also, where they have to actually go in the community and do things, their police duties. That should be part of it.
I want police out of the community. I feel you, and I think, so there's two models.
Whoa, what do you mean, Mark?
I want to live in a world where we don't need police in our community.
Well, I would love for that, but some of these Negroes don't know how to act.
They need Mark. Police.
Some of us need police.
Some of them need a little police.
But we can community police. So here's what I'm saying. I think there's the reformist strategy and there's a radical strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying that right now, I'm agreeing with you. We need the police, and the people who police those police need to be independent, right? Because the problem is, I sued the Philadelphia police, right? I file a report, and the police read the report. And then they give the report to the cop who I'm complaining against.
Right.
They let him read what I said, and then they let him respond
to
it.
What'd you sue for?
Officer Richard DeCotesworth. And he, because he pulled me over, he said I was in the wrong neighborhood with the wrong car, threw me against the car, did an illegal search, all this stuff. And when I asked him why he pulled me over, he said illegal discharge of a passenger.
What?
I dropped my homie off at the corner. I mean, I don't know what.
I've never heard of that
in my life.
I think he made it up. Once he pulled out my checkbook, and my checkbook had doctor on it, right? And first he thought I stole the checkbook. Then he matched it against my license.
Wow.
Then he was like, "Oh, you know what? I'm going to let you go." He's like, "But just don't stay out of this neighborhood." I'm where I grew up.
That's the thing.
He just didn't think I belonged there, right? So anyway, so I filed a report. The police rejected it. I sued anyway. And when it came out, it was like hip hop professor sues decorated cop, because the cop had been shot in the face, and Obama had him at his first State of the Union. He was his hero cop. So 2 years later, he's off the force. Turned out not only had he done that to me, he had shot someone in the back, and the forensic had lied about it. He had done like three other things, and then he eventually got caught for prostitution, drugs, all these crimes. He had the highest bail in Pennsylvania history. That's crazy. When I said it, they didn't believe it. You know what I mean? It wasn't until he hit a cop that he got kicked off the force. But building the case mattered.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because if I hadn't done that, then there wouldn't have been somebody else who could do that.
That's why it is important to make sure you document when something happens to you.
Right. So we have to do that. We need to have a kind of investment in our community so that police have a different relationship to our community. Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
Right.
But I'm saying long term, I want to figure out ways for us to police our own communities, for us to govern ourselves, for us to have dispute resolution, community-based things. I get it. If somebody's in the block raping people or shooting at the block, I'm not saying we should just handle it ourselves. But I'm saying those are the extremes. That's different than having a kind of occupied territory vibe, which is what you see in parts of urban areas right now, where police are everywhere all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Stop and frisk is a big part of that.
I love your idea, but Negroes are a little bit more unruly. And I think that we need people from our community to go into that system, that blue wall, and disrupt it. We need more of us becoming police officers, but not, you know, abiding by that whole blue wall of silence, being a part of that system. Like, we need like a tea party in the police
force. But you know what, talking to a lot of police officers say that if they do go against that blue,
yeah,
it's problems for them. Then everything that they work
next
for,
next thing you know, they're
academy,
demoted. They're on
they
desk duty.
They don't get promoted. It makes their life
nobody
miserable.
Talks to them.
So nobody talks to them. They wind up getting fired. And that 4 or 5 years they spent on the forces for nothing.
That's why you got to be courageous, though. Again, there's always something at stake when you tell the truth.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And essentially saying, I can't do the right thing because it'll cost me. It's always going to cost you.
Mm-hmm.
If you're committed to us and you love us, then you got to make the sacrifice.
There you have it.
Well, we appreciate you joining us today, man.
Yeah, it's my pleasure, man.
Yeah, I can sit and talk to Mark all day.
I know, we could.
Like, literally.
We could talk about your light skin, dark skin differences, but we'll do that another
time. That's all in fun, though. That's it. Some people do act light skin, though.
Some people act dark.
That's racist.
See, now, how come that? That's okay.
Some people just be acting light skinned sometimes. But that's an age thing, too, because these millennials, they look at us and they be like, oh, I can't believe y'all doing colorism.
Right.
It's like, yo, we grew up joking like
exactly.
that, bro. Like,
we
don't
mean it, right?
No.
I love it.
I mean, we mean it, but we don't mean it. Mean it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It was hurtful for some people, though,
yeah,
growing up, too.
Like, I get hurt when you call me waffle color Negro. Like, that's
hard. Like, we're old enough to know that if we see Drake, Drake is the epitome of light skin. He acts. I love Drake, but he acts light.
That's what I'm saying.
He makes light skin music.
There's nothing wrong with that. Well, there you have it.
Nobody. Hold that up one time,
book is
man.
Called Nobody. Cashies America's Warner Vulnerable. Ferguson to Flint and beyond. It's in bookstores everywhere. It's also on Amazon. And watch VH1 Live.
Right? All right. There we have it. It's 10
p.m. Sunday.
Mark Lamont Hill is the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Listen up.
This just in.
All the gossip. The rumor report. With Angela Yee.
It's the rumor report.
The Breakfast Club.
Well, a tennis celebrity showed up to the Suicide Squad premiere in New York City. Will Smith was there.
What's Suicide Squad? Explain, because I have no clue.
It's a DC movie. I actually got invited to that premiere. But I don't rock with DC because all their movies suck. So
all
I didn't
right,
even
but
go.
You also
Goodness
don't
gracious.
Rock with DC because you rock with Marvel. And
you know that.
Here is what Suicide Squad director David Ayer had to say about Marvel.
Marvel.
He said F Marvel.
Now, is that DC, means nothing. Now, what's the difference between DC and Marvel?
Everything. It's like asking the difference between black and white.
Huh?
Apples and oranges.
Not into it. I'm
well,
okay.
I guess he got into the hype because he then tweeted out, sorry about getting caught up in the moment and saying F Marvel. Someone said it. I echoed. Not cool. Respect for my brother filmmakers.
I heard Suicide Squad sucks too, by the way, but it doesn't surprise me because it's a DC movie. Most of their movies suck.
Well, I have no idea. I don't know.
I have no clue what you're talking about.
I don't
about
know, but I know Will Smith was there and he said there'll never, ever be another reboot of The Fresh Prince, just so you know. He said, I don't think ever, like pretty close to when hell freezes over, like we're going to leave that one alone.
Who the hell said it was going to be a reboot
well,
of The Fresh
Prince? Well, they asked him, would they do a reboot of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air?
Will Smith, and a grown-ass man now, what he's still doing living with, first of all, Aunt Viv, and ain't they all dead? Uncle Phil's dead.
Uncle Phil is dead.
Uncle Phil's dead.
I don't know about Aunt Viv.
Well, you know, they always bring back old shows, and they could recast it or whatever, but I don't think he would ever want
and the kids
like
is
that.
Now the fathers.
Man, no.
All right.
No. That was a show that was built around youth. They all old now. No.
The old King of Bel-Air, maybe.
No.
All right, Suge Knight. Now, there is a book that's out.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's been out for a while, but the former bodyguard of Eminem, Byron Big Nas Williams, has been talking about an incident that happened when he used to work for Eminem. And one incident he talks about is from back in 2001 at the Source Awards. Here is what he says happened while he was there working for Eminem.
We were at the Source Awards, and we all know historically in the past, the Source Awards, somebody always got shot. So I noticed the middle of the aisle, I noticed M face changing, and he's turning like tomato red. He's beeping with all these guys in these red shirts. This is exactly what they said. Death row, mother. Death row. He said, man, Suge Knight sent us. Your strong arm, and man, it's going down.
Mm.
So he's talking about that, and then he talks about how he had to go backstage and take control of the situation because Dr. Dre was there also. So basically everybody was backstage. He said they were on knockout mode. If anybody tried to get too close, tried to get an autograph or anything like that, they were going to get laid out because that was the atmosphere that was set up. Now he also talks about another incident that happened with Snoop and Dre and Suge. Here's what he said.
I think the scariest moment was when we went to Hawaii. The plane lands in Honolulu, the doors open, and we greeted by like 20 Honolulu police officers. And they're like, yo, y'all got to come with us. Death Row is here. They tried to hem Snoop up. We need y'all to gather all your belongings. When we got there, man, Suge had sent well over 50 guys to Hawaii to break up the Snoop Dogg, Dr. Dre, break up the makeup reunion, man.
Wow.
So when we slept at night, we had to have Honolulu police standing outside our door. That's how deep Suge Knight was there, man.
Wow.
Well, guess who won? Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, and Eminem.
Everybody's doing okay now. And now, interestingly, because I was wondering, I'm pretty sure Eminem has everybody sign some type of non-disclosure agreement, but this was early on when he was his security. And apparently he put out his book back in 2000, and he had some issues with Eminem and a lot of back and forth. They're not cool anymore at all, but he does say he's passed all of the issues that they've had.
And what's the point of this book? He's just telling a story?
Did an interview, so...
Okay.
I guess he was just talking about things that happened.
Sounds interesting.
When he was security for Eminem.
Yeah, you can learn how not to move. You know, learn to move like Dre was, Snoop was, and Eminem was. Mm-hmm. Okay, God bless Suge Knight, but I wouldn't want to be in this position. I'd much rather be in Dr. Dre, Snoop, Eminem's position right now.
All right, Karrueche has some great news. She has been cast in a pilot for TNT. The show is called Claws and should be co-starring opposite Niecy Nash. It's an hour-long scripted dramedy. It's in a Southern Florida nail salon. And Rashida Jones is actually doing it, which, by the way, I really like Rashida Jones. I think it's good for
her. Why are you yawning like that? It could be good, man.
What you talking about?
Niecy Nash is in it. Rashida Jones is involved with it. But it's kind of like a Desperate Housewives type of show. It follows the lives of five women who are manicurists.
Donkey of the Day up next, right?
So she's playing Virginia.
Finish up, ye.
Yes, so good for Karrueche. A lot of people just look at her, oh, that's just Chris Brown's ex-girlfriend, but she is trying to make her strides.
There she goes. She's working.
In acting. And that is your rumor report. I'm Angela Yee.
You up over there?
Are we moving on?
Man, what did Karrueche do to you?
We moved on?
Yes, okay. we have moved on.
All right.
Donkey of the Day up next. Who are you giving that donkey to?
A young lady named Katrina Pearson. She needs to come to the front of the congregation. All right, we'd like to have a word with her. Very fine. Might need an Instagram more than she needs a Twitter or anything.
No, boy.
Rather look at it and hear from her, but we'll talk about it.
Wow.
Okay. We'll get to that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkey of the Day, ask Charlamagne.
I'm a Democrat, so being Donkey of the Day is a little bit of a mixed up.
So like a donkey. Yeehaw.
Okay.
Donkey of the Day. The Breakfast Club, bitches.
I've been called a lot in my 23 years, but Donkey of the Day is a new one.
Yes, Donkey of the Day for Wednesday, August 3rd, goes to Katrina Pearson. Now, if you don't know who Katrina Pearson is, she is an American Tea Party activist and communications consultant. And since November of 2015, she has served as national spokesperson for the stand-up comedy show, commonly known as the Donald Trump 2016 presidential campaign. Now, like most people on Donald Trump's campaign, and including Donald, facts don't matter, okay? People on the Trump campaign treat facts like kids in the street treat a whack pair of sneakers. One of those! And Katrina Pearson is no different. Now, Katrina Pearson was on with CNN's Wolf Blitzer, and she was having a back and forth with Wolf on whether her Republican nominee boss should apologize to, you know I'm going to mess up his name. What's his name? The father?
Kaiser.
Kaiser Khan, okay? Okay, for insulting his son's legacy. Now, Kaiser Khan is the father of a Muslim U.S. soldier named... What's his...
Humayun Khan.
Humayun Khan.
Rest in peace to him, who was killed in Iraq in 2004. Mm-hmm. And Katrina Pearson blames his death on Hillary Clinton and President Barack Obama. Let's hear it.
But surely you can understand the confusion, considering how Donald Trump never voted for the Iraq war. Hillary Clinton did. And then she didn't support the troops to have what they need. It was under Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton that changed the rules of engagements that probably cost his life. So I don't understand why it's so hard to understand why Donald Trump was confused about why he was being held responsible for something he had nothing to do with.
Okay, Katrina, let's talk about this now. Yes, Hillary Clinton voted for the Iraq war, but you said this happened under Hillary Clinton and President Barack Obama. Well, Katrina, Captain Khan died in service in Iraq in 2004. Now, I'm not the highest grade of weed in the dispensary. In fact, I called Africa a country just yesterday. But I know that in 2004, George W. Bush was president. Okay, Iraq war happened 5 years before President Obama took office. Am I correct on this?
Yes.
I am. Okay. Fact. All right, but hey, who got time for facts when we trying to get Donald Trump in the White House? Okay, Katrina Pearson, this is what happens when you try to explain why Donald Trump is confused. Okay, Donald Trump to me seems like he is in a constant state of confusion. Everybody around that whole campaign seems like they're in a constant state of confusion. So I don't understand why it's so hard for you to understand, why we don't understand, why you don't understand, why nobody gives a damn about what Donald Trump doesn't understand, because none of us understand why Donald Trump is the GOP nominee. But we also understand that nobody on Donald Trump team understands facts. And Katrina Pearson is yet another example of that. Please give Katrina Pearson the biggest hee-haw, please. I mean, Jesus Christ, Google is your friend, right? I mean, you think if you're on a, you know, reputable network and you're talking to Wolf Blitzer, you would at least know who was president in 2004, wouldn't you?
How embarrassing. Googles. Has she responded at all?
I don't know, but I don't think she needs to respond. I don't think we need to hear from
what
her.
What about Donald Trump getting a Purple Heart also?
She's one of those women who...
That's stupid.
That was so crazy.
He says somebody gave it to him.
And then the guy, and he goes, man, I always wanted a Purple Heart. He said, this is way easier.
That's clown work with him and his crew, man. That's clown work with him and his team.
I just think Katrina Pearson needs an Instagram and not a Twitter, because you'd rather see her than hear from her, because she does look good now.
All righty.
Nah.
But, you know.
You don't like that right there?
No.
Why not?
Because her brain makes her unattractive.
That forehead. All right.
That
well, thank you for
though.
That donkey of the day. All right. Now, up next, Ask Ye, 800-585-1051. If you need relationship advice or any type of advice, you can call Ye right now, 800-585-1051. She'll put you live on air and help you with all your problems. Again, 800-585-1051. Call Ye right now. She'll put you live on air. Here's Cut It, OT Genesis. Good morning. That was Fabulous Can't Let You Go. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, you can call Yee right now if you need some advice, 800-585-1051. Or you can always email her, breakfastclubam@gmail.com. Hello, who's this?
My name is Crystal.
Hey, Crystal. What's your question for Yee?
So I'm calling because I've been with my husband since I was 15. We've been together for 10 years, married for 6, and he's currently deployed. And 3 months into the deployment, he sends me this email and basically tells me he wants to get divorced. Wow. So obviously I'm like, what's going on? We have 2, like, young kids. I start hearing from people from the squadron who work for that him and the FRA, which is the family readiness officer, are like having an inappropriate relationship. Meanwhile, this woman was like forced to be my best friend. My husband came home one day, I was like 10 months pregnant. He's like, I really think you'd like her. You would be like great friends, whatever.
Wow, so what a slime ball.
Hang out with her. And then, like, we become best friends for a year. Like, our kids are best friends, like sisters, you know? I'm like, what's going on? And he just tells me, like, she's feels disrespected, and meanwhile I'm home by myself with 2 kids raising them when he's deployed.
But he told you he felt disrespected?
Yeah, exactly. And then she was supposed to be my best friend. I'm not gonna lie, I had a night out and I got a little too drunk and couldn't pick my kids up from care, so she picked them up for me being my best friend, you know. And then the next day, guess what she does, guys? Calls Child Protective Services.
What?
So then I told my husband this, and he basically blames it on me, takes her side and defends her, saying she was just doing her job and protecting his kids. So now she was, like, calling the cops on me. So it got to the point where I had to actually come back to the Boston area with my family because I just felt so threatened. And he's still talking to her to this day and admits that he's still talking to this woman who's destroying my family.
All right, well, there's a lot going on here. First of all, this is still your husband. Now, is your plan to try to repair your marriage, or...
He doesn't want to.
And you want to?
I wanted to at first, but now it's gotten to the point where there's been too much damage.
Right. Now, this is completely disrespectful. Not only did he cheat on you, but he introduced you to the woman that he's cheating on you with. And made you guys best friends.
Not to mention, I found her underwear in my room when I came back from a 10-day trip to Boston with my kids. And they said that it must have gotten stuck to the Velcro in the packing play that I was borrowing for my child. And at first, I was like, of course, because it was my husband and my best friend. But now I'm like, they were sleeping together when I was on my trip back home. Flew 6 hours to Boston from Arizona with 2 kids by myself. And he's screwing somebody that's my best friend and that he worked with.
Well, you sound surprisingly calm about all of this, so I commend you on all of that right now. But let's just say this. The first and biggest priority is your kids.
Absolutely.
Is he, aside from what he's done to you, is he a good father to these kids?
Honestly, no. And now he's trying to fight me for custody 50-50. So it's going to be a custody battle. And, I mean, do I love him? Yeah. And do the kids love him? Yeah. But I've been raising these kids basically on my own since my first daughter was born 4 years ago.
All right, so I think what you need to do first and foremost is protect your kids and protect yourself. And when I say that, I mean, he's trying to go and get that 50-50 custody. You know, that she's been calling the police on you. What you need to do is be very proactive in making sure that you have any emails, any type of correspondence between you guys that you might need for future evidence. You yourself need to contact a lawyer. And be proactive.
Yeah, sure an everything. Investigation has been open with his command, so there is an investigation open right now.
Right. But is that initiated by you, or was that initiated because...
It was initiated by me when I went to, like, a place on base, basically legal on base, and talked to them about what was going on.
Okay, so good. Just make sure you have all of that on record, because I want to say right now, it doesn't seem like your marriage is going to be able to be repaired. He has completely betrayed your trust. He doesn't even want to be with you anyway. You really want to go to your cousin's wedding? If it was me, I would go. And when is the next time your kids will be able to see their dad?
I plan on bringing them out like right after the wedding, a few days after the wedding. So they'll see him a few weeks after he comes home from overseas.
Okay. So, I mean, sometimes it's time for you to be a little selfish and do the things that you need to do. But just make sure that you keep a correspondence. Make sure you let them know that. Say, look, I can't bring them that day because we're going to my cousin's wedding, but I'll come after.
Right. But just
And just whatever you do, don't argue in front of your kids. Don't let them know all of this that's going on because, again, they are very young. But just make sure you protect yourself and protect your kids. And I would say, yes, you know, it's over for you. The relationship is over. So, obviously, you lost your best friend.
Yeah, and there's always Tinder, right?
Christian Mingle.
I don't know about that.
Good luck.
Okay.
Thank you.
All righty.
She sounds very upbeat.
Yeah, very happy for her husband to be smashing her best friend.
Okay.
All right. Ask Ye. 800-585-1051. If you got a question for Ye, call her now. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. That was Bryson Tiller with Don't. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're in the middle of Ask Yee. 800-585-1051 if you got a question for Yee. Walanyi?
Seven, please.
Seven, please. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, what's your question, sir?
Hey, if I like a girl but her family is big Trump supporters, is that a deal breaker?
Oh,
yes.
That's a good that's a great question.
Woo-hoo.
How do you handle this one, Yee?
Well, is she a Trump supporter?
Is she? I mean, not huge, but her parents are kind of freaky.
You don't know who she's supporting. Is she supporting Trump? Does she believe the same things that her parents believe? Have you guys discussed this?
No, but I think she might take after just because it's her parents and all that.
Ah, that's a really tough one. Do they talk about it all the time?
Not really, but it's obvious. Like, got stickers and stuff.
Man, that's a hard, tough one. How long have y'all been together?
Not too long. So, I mean, it wouldn't be the end of the world.
Aside from the Trump supporting thing, is everything else okay and great?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I would question somebody's morals. But again, you know, politics is a very personal thing, so people have their reasons. What I would do, though, I do suggest, because sometimes they say politics and dating really don't mix, and, you know, that is one thing that people will argue about to the death of them. Maybe y'all should have a conversation just to see how important that is to her, just to kind of get an idea of what her morals and beliefs are in general, so you know if this is somebody that you can gel with.
Yeah, for sure. And I got one thing. Yesterday was my 23rd birthday, so drop on the clues bonds for me, damn it.
There all right, happy 23rd birthday. Who are you supporting?
Hillary.
All right.
Hey, I just want you to know that a house divided cannot stand, sir. I just want you to know that.
Yeah, I don't know how that was going to work, bro.
Now, he needs to talk to her, though, because he doesn't know if she supports him. He knows her parents do, and you can't really hold someone accountable for what their parents
that's
are
true.
Like.
Mark 3:25. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. That's Mark 3:25. Now, what you need to do is take her to Dr. Miami and get her vagina rejuvenated and tell the parents, I'm just trying to make her vagina great again. See how they feel about
what's
that.
What's wrong with you, man?
Okay.
Well, thank you very much for your Ask Ye advice. 800-585-1051 if you want to holler at Ye. Or you can always email her, breakfastclubam@gmail.com. Now, Yeezy.
Yes, DJ MV.
We got rumors coming up.
Yeah, we're going to talk about your boy, okay? He's finally looks like buried the hatchet.
Who?
50 Cent and the Game.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so we'll find out what the situation is with that. And Big Tigger, we've been trying to get in touch with this guy, but he was on vacation. So he speaks out on Ed Hartwell and Keisha Knight Pulliam, who is his ex, on their divorce. So you'll find out what he has to say. Could he be the father of that unborn baby?
Wow. Okay, we'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Listen up.
Just in. All the gossip. The Rumor Report. Gossip. With Angela Yee.
It's The Rumor Report.
The Breakfast Club.
Well, it's been a lot of drama between Keisha Knight Pulliam and Ed Hartwell with their divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And she's still pregnant, of course. There were some rumors. Some people felt like, is she pregnant by Big Tigger? Because Ed Hartwell said he needs a paternity test. Well, Big Tigger, fresh back from vacation, had this to say.
There is 0% chance that the child that is being alleged might be mine. It's mine. Could not have impregnated a female I've not spoken to, nor seen, nor been in the physical presence of since our breakup. Find it incredibly unfortunate that any man would desert his woman, his pregnant wife, furthermore to do so behind her back while publicly questioning her character by asking for a paternity test to me is corny. Just my opinion. And lastly, I'm saddened that she has to endure this messiness and drama throughout her pregnancy. I wish her and her daughter well.
Take it once back.
Yeah, basically he's saying, yo, that's what you get for breaking up with her, breaking up with him to get with him.
Well, I don't know.
And by
know
the way, they broke up in January. Right?
I don't know that he wants back.
So how old? January, February, March, April, May, June, July. She could be 8 months pregnant, bro.
It could be February, March, April, May, June, July, August. Yeah, yeah, it'd be 7 months.
February.
Who said they broke up in January?
I just Googled it.
This guy, man.
I did. I Googled Tigger and Keisha Knight Pulliam breakup, and it was January. All the articles say January 2016.
Oh, so, I didn't know that's when they broke up because she was married for, 6 months? So
I don't know. I just made that up. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, who cares about facts?
I don't know.
People do. Liar.
We don't live in a fact-driven world anymore.
But I think that he did take the high road. That was great because it is a shame that she's going through all of this while she's pregnant. I'm sure it's very stressful.
Yeah, and you with that corny dude.
You're about to have a baby.
With that corny dude asking for paternity tests. I like how Tigger threw all that nice little shade at him.
Sound like he was a little back, though.
And then y'all going to play Love You Better in the background while we talk about this?
Tigger just letting her know that's what you get for leaving me, okay?
All right, now here's some unfortunate news. Tyrese and Reverend Run's show, It's Not You, It's Men, has been canceled. Now, Tyrese posted about it. He said, it breaks my heart to post this. The OWN Network has decided to pass on season 2 of our show. Message to one of my biggest inspirations, Mother Oprah Winfrey and team. Honestly, as much as I want to be mad and disappointed, I can't be because you believed in us enough to give us a shot that you could have given to anyone. So he did say he wants to see if the chairman and CEO of Netflix will pick up the show. He said they're on line one. It's Not You, It's Men will live on some way, somehow. So that's what he's looking into right now, getting it placed there. Now, Oprah said, think like a king. A king is not afraid to fail. Failure is another stepping stone to greatness. That's what she told Tyrese.
She responded to him?
Well, I think she spoke to him, and that's what he said she told him. That was her advice. Think like a king.
By the way, Rev Run and Tyrese are doing just fine in life. Okay? They will be okay.
They are winning.
Without that show?
Right, they'll be fine. I mean, I'm sure he's disappointed, obviously, as he said. He's disappointed about it.
He's working on the new Transformers.
He'll bring it somewhere else. This was his baby. All right, and 50 Cent of the Game. While other people are breaking up, these two could potentially be making up. Now, they were at Ace of Diamonds.
That sounded all types of wrong, by the way.
In L.A.
Crazy.
You know what I mean.
No, I didn't.
Everybody else is beefing. There's breakups.
We got you.
But these two have somehow managed to be in the same club and not get into it. And the Game actually got on the mic and said that they are onto some new ish. And Game has been saying that he wants to make up with 50.
Yeah, none of that means nothing until 50 says it, though. This is a one-sided situation. Like, Game can say that all day long. But until 50 says it, then it actually means something.
They did speak to each other in the club.
They did talk to each other in the club.
Okay. Game went over and they had some words. And then
really?
Game got on the mic and said that, yeah, they did speak to each other in the club, though.
Okay, well, we might be on to something.
In the club. Did they play in the club?
No, I think they played all their records together after that, though.
Wow. Well, that's big news. But we are still waiting to see what 50's going to say.
We didn't see what 50 said after that conversation, though, so we got to wait for that.
We don't know what's going to really happen because you never know. But 50 Cent is winning in a lot of ways right now, so I'm sure he's like, put all that beef behind me.
No, that's not who Curtis Jackson is.
Petty Cent?
No, exactly.
But I'm not going to lie. Back in the day, they wouldn't be able to be in the same club. So they've been in the same club several times, so maybe.
So no matter what, it's progress.
It's progress.
No matter how you look at it. Mm-hmm. Now, you know what else 50 did in that club, in the strip club that night? He actually was in there throwing money, but he left with a lot of money, which is something that perhaps he taught you, Envy.
Absolutely. If a promoter gives you money, you leave with the money. Let me ask Charlamagne.
Oh, come on.
Yes.
No.
Promoter gives you a bunch of singles. Right?
We already know.
What do you do with them singles, bro?
Throw them and then pick them back up off the floor.
Well, Envy didn't go that far.
I didn't even throw him.
Oh, you didn't even throw him? No. Well, you got to throw a little bit. If you get $1,000, throw $200.
That's what Envy does.
And then pick the $200 up off the floor. Or at least $150. Leave him with $50. But I don't go to clubs anymore, so.
That is awful.
I don't need to be in there. Why
I feel
would you
like
want
if
my
the
business?
Promoter gives you the money, you're supposed to throw it. That he gave you that money to throw.
Supposed to.
And these girls are working very hard, and you just hoarding your money.
Technically, he didn't give you the money to throw. He just gave you the money.
That's right.
No, if you get, okay, if he gives you all those stacks of money, like, here, go have fun.
It could be money.
You're supposed to.
No, he'd be giving you money to shop at the 99 cent store.
Hey, they never
know. Look, I pay it forward.
Go ball out
I
in
threw,
Jack's.
I threw Envy's money. I paid it forward.
Yeah, she started throwing the money.
I said, what are you doing? This leaves with
we
me.
We were at V-Live in Houston. Every time Envy turned his back, I grabbed some money and threw it.
but you learn by example, though, because one time when I was in King of Diamonds, that happened to me. And, you know, they always make those big spectacles in King of Diamonds.
Too.
Yeah, where they start playing the drums and that Odyssey 2000 music. Mm-hmm. So they put all this light on you. So the promoter just gave you your money. So you feel pressured to throw money.
See, no, the difference in that was the money you got paid. It wasn't money to just throw. You were supposed to pocket that. Now, I'll tell you what I did
Either
in that
way,
situation.
I went back to the club.
Yes. When I was with Charlamagne, and we were at King of Diamonds in Miami. And he got his money. I got my money. I put my money away.
Mm-hmm.
Charlamagne had a couple drinks.
He started throwing his money.
Got his money.
Got him.
We both was throwing his money.
Got him.
It never happened again.
Listen, we threw it all. We had a ball.
And that's why I'm still back from Scribbles right now. Because I'm still trying to make up for that King of Diamonds situation.
Well, then you owe them a dance.
So every Scribble.
You owe them a dance.
If the rare time you see me in the Scribb Club and I'm picking up money off the floor, it's because I'm trying to get back the negative energy that King of Diamonds put on me by causing me to throw my money.
Oh.
All right, well, that is your rumor report. I'm Angela Yee.
All right, thank you, Miss Yee. Up next is the People's Choice Mix. Let us know what you want to hear at DJ MV or 800-585-1051. Let's throw it back first. It's Notorious B.I.G. It's One More Chance. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. And Revolt. See you tomorrow.